say amen once again. God has been good and we're homeward bound. I hope that's the case for each and every one of us in here this morning. I hope that you can realize and realize that the only way we can be homeward bound is if we're bound on the right path earthly right now. That's the only way we get homeward bound. Home being heaven. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the first book of Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, starting at verse number 13 and ending with verse number 16. But we're going to take for our text topic this morning, verse number 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Yes, unfortunately, I'm going to do another sermon on death, because that's what I'm trying to save us all from death, eternal death. So we sometimes have to go over and over until we get it right, and hopefully we can get it together and get it right for all of us. This morning, let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much, O Lord, that you have lengthened out our lives and blessed us to be here this morning. We thank you for all the goodness, all your grace, and all your mercies that you have sent our way, but especially your love by sending your Son to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the church that belongs to your Son and for the members therein, in particular this local congregation. We pray for the leaders and their families. We pray for the membership and their families as well. We pray for each and every one in the audience this morning that they would find peace through you, O Lord. We thank you for everything you do for us, Father. We pray for those who are without, and we pray even more, Father, for those who don't even know the Son of yours, Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for giving us life, health, and strength. We thank you for a way to get to church, clothes to wear, to get us to church, and a way to get us to church, I should say. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all that you do for us, and may we continue to do likewise for you and be good stewards and good servants to you, O Lord. Father, we love you and we want to continue and continue in prayer through you and continue in thy word. Be with us now, Heavenly Father, as we move on into our services. Bless us all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Let us all say amen. First of all, let me start off by saying Sister Jean Brown wants to send her thanks to each and every one of the church members here today. She wants to thank you all for continuing in prayer. She is doing as well as can be expected. She looks well. She's got a good attitude, and she wanted you all to know that she is doing okay. So continue in prayer for her, and let us remember all of those that are sick. Sister Jelks is doing pretty good. Sister Maddie Taylor is now home from the hospital, as I mentioned, and as was mentioned in the bulletin on last week. So let us continue to pray for all of those who are sick. And if you know of anyone who's sick and they would like to have communion service, please let myself or Brother Burnside know, and we will arrange for that to happen. But we need to know if you want us to come and bring communion services to your house. And while I'm on the subject of announcements, don't forget, we're wrapping it up, but Wednesday night Bible class is still going on. And we need you at Wednesday night Bible class. Why do we need you? We need you so that you can learn the Word of God. It's a very informative class, and it's going well. So we're asking you that if it fits into your plan, and if it fits into your plan, come out. But if it doesn't, try to make it fit into your plan, so that we can have the Word of God taught unto us through His Bible class. Each day that we live, we experience something about life. We see its beauty. We see its shining moments. But we may many days also experience its worst at times. We know that each day that we live, we draw closer to death. When we see the beauty of what God has created, We may think to ourselves, is it really true that one day all of this will be gone away from me? Yes, death will take all of us and take all that we have become accustomed to. But death is not after a choice, is not an after choice that we are given. Instead, it is an absolute. Somewhere in the pages of our song books, we sing a song from time to time with the words beginning like this. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. When then the chorus says, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. So church, we got to be prepared for our flying away. We're going to go no matter which, whether we're prepared or not. But we want to look at this morning a few things about death. First of all, Christians must understand that the Lord is coming. In verse 16 of our text, it tells us the Lord shall descend. And this is not speculation, and it's not open for debate, for He sure is going to descend. So this morning, we're going to talk about it for a few minutes. The Lord shall descend. The Lord shall descend. There are many truths in the Bible, but for there are few that should have greater impact on us than the verse of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. For in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, it ought to be a preparation text for us. Nothing we ever prepare for, we prepare for everything, I should say, but few of us prepare to stop this life. Few scriptures are so direct and personal. It says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after death, after this, the judgment. The Word of God is telling us three things here. Number one, it's telling us that there's an appointed time. This appointment is already made for us. It was set up by the Lord, and He only knows when it shall be. In Matthew 25 and verse number 13, the Bible says, watch therefore, for you know not neither the hour nor the day when the Son of Man may come. He may come on Monday. He may come on Tuesday. He may come on Wednesday. He may even come on the weekend. And he may not. He may come at 12 a.m. or he may come at 12 p.m. But nevertheless, we don't know the day nor the hour that He shall come, but the Son of Man is coming. It may be even 5 or 6 in the evening, but the Son of Man shall come. Any time for God is an all right time for Him to come. The second thing we can learn from Hebrews 9 and 27, we can learn that all men shall die. Now, I don't think that leaves any room for any exceptions. All of us are going to die. Black men are going to die. White men are going to die. Yellow men, brown men, rich men, poor men, all should die. And thirdly, they all must face the judgment. Judgment is coming to all, and what we say idly, we shall have to give an account of according to Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 36. No man can forecast his own future. He can simply live the days God gives him according to Proverbs 27 and verse number 1. The Bible says, boast not of thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. No matter how good we think our lives may be, there's one thing we all got to remember. All good things must come to an end. Certainly we shall be gone one day. And when our time to go, there is no stopping the march of death. When it's time, it's going to be time and we must go. We must answer the call because that appointment has already been set for us. And we look back at the text once again, and it says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this, that we need to live our lives in Christ so that we may be going home with Him. So we've got to learn to prepare for death. Contrary to what many think about the Bible when it speaks of death. A lot of folks think this way. They say it is not directed to me. It's directed to everybody else. But it's not directed to me. It's directed to everybody except me. It is all including. It is including you, though. It is speaking and including all of us. There's a perfect example given in Luke chapter 12. The perfect teaching tool to help us get prepared for what shall eventually come. In an exchange between Jesus and a rich man, his perception was that he who had much riches, that he didn't have to die. He apparently didn't think that death was coming his way. But when you look at and pick up the verses in verse number 16 and following through about verse number 20, his first mistake is found in verse number 17. His thoughts were that of himself and what he perceived to be a problem. When we go through this life thinking only about ourselves, we may be in for a rude awakening or a rude wake-up call. The directive from God came and it was very clear and direct in verse number 20. But God said unto him, "Thou fool." And he didn't say, "Wait until tomorrow." He said, "Not next week, but this thy very night, thy soul is required of thee." So what are you saying? I'm simply saying we never know what corner or what wall death is hiding behind. It could be right behind one of these walls. It could be right outside of that door back there. But nevertheless, death is coming to all of us. Far too many of us are so involved in living, they forget that death requires planning as well. All this man that Jesus was speaking to was concerned about was what he had, what his future should be, and what he was going to do. If you go over to verses 18 and 19 sometime at your own leisure, you can see what this man was all about. But Peter, in the second book of his writing, speaks on how the world looks toward the coming of Jesus. In chapter 3, around verses number 3 and 4, he's saying, "Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers," or mockers, if you will, walking after their own lust and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming?" You know, there are some folk who don't believe that Jesus is coming. There are some folk who say that, "Well, if He was coming, He would have been here already." Well, not necessarily. He works on His time, not our time. God works on His own given time. No matter how good you may think you are, no matter how great you may think you are, God is not ready for you until He gets ready to have you. So remember that God is coming. The second coming of Christ shall come just as death is coming for sure to us. The second coming of Christ is also coming. When you think about it, church, there's some things that we need to understand about death. Death makes all men equal. Death is an equalizer. Death puts us all on the same foundation. Death is coming to all of us. And the only difference is, if a person lives to be 100-plus years old, God has been good to them. That's all. That doesn't mean that they have been so good, but it simply means that God was not ready for them yet. You can live your life in a vacuum, if you like, and pretend that you don't know God, but death is coming, and God is coming back. There are some believers who, if they're not careful, they may find themselves in a position like some non-believers. Some say that there is no God. Therefore, we don't need to prepare for death. Well, I think that we ought to prepare for death. Would you go on vacation without planning for it? I doubt it. Would you start your retirement without preparing for it? I doubt it. So why should we not prepare for death? In Amos chapter 4 and the verses number 12, the Bible says Amos warned Israel to prepare for death. He said, "Prepare to meet thy God." Others say, "We don't know anything about God." That's the agnostic. He says, "I don't know anything about God in eternity." Yet chapter 57 and verse number 15 of Isaiah speaks of God dwelling in eternity. So there is an eternity. We know that. Others say when we die, we may come back in some form, other form of life. So I ask this question. Then how or why does the Bible speak of the dead rising up with Christ in 1 Thessalonians, our text, in verses 4, chapter 4 and verse 16? All I can say is this. We must be prepared because death is on its way to every one of us. We should get ready, stay ready, and then encourage others to be ready as well. Once again, look at the text. Look at following verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We've got hope, church. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now that tells me that all of us are going to die because we are going to be raised up again. And some folks still say, well, I just don't believe it. I just can't understand this person that you call God will allow this to take place. You know, there are so many things people have ideas about. Some of them claim that if there is a God, there would be no suffering. But God gives us choices in life to make. And God puts choices in front of us, and we must make a right or a wrong decision. And so surely if you make the wrong decision, most people want to try to get it right. Not only that, but we should view death as gain. Death is never an easy conversation because we don't like to talk about it. Let's face it. We don't like to talk about death because death is so final. Death is the end of all that we know as living. But because we don't talk about it, doesn't mean that it goes away. And it still is there whether we talk about it or not. Paul said in Philippians 1 and 21, he said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. What was he saying? What was he trying to tell us there? How is death gain, and what do we gain? Well, as the old warrior of the New Testament had so much to teach us, this is teaching that I consider to be ultimate teaching. It gives us to know that death gives us gain over the hardships and the sufferings that we are exposed to in this life. And in Paul's case, death would mean that there would be no more prisons for him and no more threatenings against his life. For all who believe and to all who have been obedient, there are many more no mores in the Bible. No more crying, no more sorrows, according to Revelation chapter 21 and around verse number 4 and 5. But most of us, we get to be present. Most of all, we get to be present with the Lord when we die, if we live our lives right. One day we shall be with Him in glory. And isn't it wonderful, a wonderful thought, to church, to know that even though I live in this old life that I live on this earth down here, and it's got its ups and downs, no doubt about that. Even though I live in an up and down life, even though I live in an up and down society, isn't it wonderful to know that one day I can live with God in peace and harmony? No more watching the guys walk around with their pants hanging so low you wonder why they're even wearing them. No more wondering about will somebody steal my car because I left it parked in the wrong place. No more worrying about how am I going to pay the bills. No more worrying about aches and pains and heartaches shall all be gone. Isn't that a wonderful thought, if nothing else? That's enough to make me want to try to get there. That's enough to make me want to prepare for it. Now, there are many ways and many things that we can do, but the main thing that we can do is be obedient to the Word of God. Be obedient in God's Word and learn to accept the teachings of the Bible. Then, as Paul, during his teaching, as he was teaching the old warrior of the New Testament, we had all of this to teach us. And we know that when we have learned of, of Paul's misery, and Paul was a persecutor, if you don't know who I'm talking about. Paul persecuted Christian folk, but Paul eventually, he learned Christ and he became obedient to the Word of Christ and the Word of God. And so that's the kind of example that we as a believer need to follow. We need to learn to accept God's Word. And I know God's Word is not necessarily always the way we want it. I wish God would let me have a little bit more fun. I wish God would allow me to do some of the things that I want to do. But then isn't that what that rich young man was talking to about Jesus? He wanted to fill up the whole picture while he was talking to Jesus. It was, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to live this way, I'm going to live that way, I'm going to say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry, is what he was saying. But God told him, not this time. Not this time. So, if we understand that we must obey the will in the open, be obedient to the Word of God, then we'll understand. And Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 will make more sense to us when we come to understand that the Lord shall descend. But first of all, we all must leave this. We all must die. We all must die. There is no place that man can get, no way that man can get out of this life except through death. And if one hasn't lived right, his or her death will be filled with sadness, sorrow, pain, and even the gnashing of teeth, according to Matthew chapter 8. So when you think about it, church, if God gives you a choice, both of the choices start with the letter H. One is hell, and one is heaven. So I ask you, which one would you choose if you had to make a choice this day? Would you choose heaven or would you choose hell? Now, first of all, once again, we must understand that death is surely going to come. That's the certainty of life, is death. First of all, understand that. Secondly, understand that this choice for you to make is given unto you. It's given unto you through the Word of God. God could not have made us to... Somebody may ask this question, first of all. How come God couldn't make it that we would live forever and not die? Well, God didn't give us that choice. He could have, but Adam, the first man, spoiled that. Adam caused death to come upon us. By one man, death came, and by the second man, the resurrection of life came about. When you think about it, but through Christ, men shall be made to alive. Thank God for His plan of redemption. Thank God for through His precious blood, we can live on. And death no longer can have a sting, has a sting on us if we obey the Word of God. We can live through death. We can live after death, I should say. We can live after death forever. But then, when I look at this matter a little bit deeper than that, I think about all the people that lived and knew not God. I think about all the people that even live today and know not God. They don't know what they're missing, first of all. They don't know what they're missing because, again, the text says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And if the dead are going to rise first, that means the dead had to get out of here in order to rise, right? If you didn't die, you can't rise. So we must all die. And once again, when I look at Hebrews 9 and 27, it is appointed. It's not a choice given unto us. It is certainly appointed that God is going to call all of us home. And death is a misunderstood topic when we talk about it. For if we do talk about it, we usually talk about it in terms of somebody else's death and not our own death. And when we do talk about it, we talk about how well we knew this person that has already gone on in this life. But you've got to understand that one day you are going to go just like I'm going to go. And I don't know when. I can't tell you when you're going to go. I can't tell my own self when I'm going to go. The only thing I can tell us is that we are surely going. That we are surely going to leave this world. We are surely going to die, and after death comes the judgment. But I'm not so concerned about the dying part. It's the judgment part that I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about if my soul is going to rest in the right place, or the good place, or if my soul is going to rest in the wrong place, which is the bad place. But I got an opportunity right now to work on that. Now, I don't know how much of an opportunity I have to work on it, but I know that I can work on it, and it's up to me if I will work on it. And how do I work on it? Well, I go to the Word of God once again. I go to the Word of God and I understand what He would have for me to do. And then I try to do these things. And you know, being a Christian, I've often said it to you before, being a Christian is not always an easy thing. But the alternatives for not being a Christian, that's a bad thing. The alternatives for not being a Christian can cause me death in the hereafter. So then, if death is surely coming, how come I don't know when it's coming? Because God didn't leave you that information. He didn't leave that information for us. He didn't leave the information for us to know when He was coming, not the day nor the hour. But the one thing I do like about Him, I do like God for this part. He warned me that it's coming. He warned us that it's coming. Death is certainly coming. And can I get around death? I don't care how old I get, how good I look, how good I smell, how much money I've got. No matter what I have in this life, it's all going to be over one day. All good things, as I told you earlier, are going to come to an end. Why must they all come to an end? Because God said so. When I look at people sometimes, I always look for the best in people and not the worst in people. And when I look at people sometimes, I understand that people are different. Some people have money. Some people have fame. Some people have fortune. But some people have nothing. But you know what? In the sight of God, we're all the same. And God is going to bring us all to an end. He's going to bring this entire world to an end, including all of mankind. So we just have to prepare for it. We just have to be ready when it comes. Now, I'm going to tell you up front right now about me. I hope I live to be another 100 years old. But I know that's not possible. Because, I take that back. It is possible because with God, all things are possible. But the one thing I do, logically speaking, it's not going to happen. But I can see myself getting a little bit older, church. I can see myself on a cane, perhaps. Or I can see myself pushing myself on a walker, even. But all I know is that if God says so, it will be so. If God doesn't say so, then it's not going to be so. But whatever He leaves me, if He leaves me with a cane or with a walker, then that's the way I'll have to live the rest of my life out. If He leaves me with this illness or that illness, that's the way I'll have to live the rest of my life out. Death is so important to us to understand that it is coming, and for us to know that without serving the righteous and the living God, we are going to be wind up in an eternal hell if we don't follow God's instructions. And then, when all has been said and when all has been done, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to have to answer for those things that we said and did in this life. And when God comes for us, we must understand that this part is coming. That we're going to have to answer for every idle word or deed that we've said in this life. And then, I just thank God that He has given us an option. He gives us an option to choose which way we want to live our lives. He doesn't give us an option of which way we're going, but He gives us an option of which way we want to head, in which direction we want to turn to. So the Lord shall descend. Will you be ready? How do I get ready? Well, you simply get ready by hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of your past sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God, and go down in the watery grave of baptism. If you've walked astray, but you've already followed these steps, but you've went astray, you still need to go back to God, ask Him to forgive you, come forward, ask the church to pray for you. Now, this, you know, I say this all the time. This is where a lot of folk get confused. They think that when they come up here, they have to spill out their guts, and you don't have to do that. You simply have to go to God first, ask Him to forgive you, then come forward in front of the church, ask the church to help you to pray that you may get your life in order. Not telling me all what you did. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, I really don't want to know what you did and who you did it with. The church doesn't want to know. As long as you can clear it with your God, with God, and then come and ask the church to pray with you, or pray, help you to pray yourself back in good graces of God. If this is your desire, we together now stand and sing the song of invitation.